This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hi, I'm Bex.
And I'm Laura.
And we are the Worst Girl Gang Ever, a podcast and platform to support, educate, and empower people through the heartbreaking experience of baby loss.
This summer sees us launching our one-of-a-kind Pathway to Recovery,
a course to shine a guiding light through these dark times.
To find out more, visit our website, www.theworstgirlgangever.co.uk. Welcome to this week's episode of The Worst Girl Gang Ever. This week, we are joined in the studio by...
Bex!
And Laura!
Yeah, wee! This is a bonus episode.
A real bonus.
And people say bonus usually in a good context, but I'm afraid it's just us, so it might not feel that way.
I just want to apologise before we start that... my dog's really annoying and likes chewing his bone. So I'm just going to ignore it.
And I just want to apologise in advance because my husband's around and he's very loud and Canadian. Mm-hmm. So
men, dogs, dicks.
What are you going to do?
I suppose this episode comes with a trigger warning, doesn't it?
Because you would have already seen it, the trigger warning, wouldn't you? Because we're going to release it with a trigger warning. But if you're just stumbling across this.
Yeah, we're talking about pregnancy after loss.
Yeah, specifically.
Yeah. So if you want to turn off, go for it.
Don't blame you. No, don't mind. Come back next week, though, right?
Yeah, next week's going to be amazing.
What? Oh, really? What? Yeah, I was going to say.
No idea. Okay. I haven't even edited this week's yet.
Cool. I was in bed this morning. I dreamt about our new logo last night.
Okay.
Yeah. And Worst Girl Gang is definitely taking over my life. Dreamt about our new logo. And then in the early hours this morning, I was thinking about all the podcasts that we've recorded so far that we haven't released. And we've got about six, haven't we?
Yeah. Like my whole desktop is full of podcasts to edit.
Might want to crack on with that, love.
All right.
You're being nice, but rude. Are you being rude,
Max? God, we're recording a podcast.
Oh, my God.
And we're keeping that bit in, Rob.
Honestly.
So next time you're listening,
next time you're going to tell Bex off. Old waggly ears and then start pointing the finger at me. Oh, you were talking about me on your podcast.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do. Slag you right off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I'm in the work van. I say nice things about you.
No, you don't.
Now they're not.
Right, anyway. Anyway, back to the podcast. So yes. This is obviously very apt for me because I am approaching 38 weeks of pregnancy. So it's been a bit, it's been amazing in so many ways, obviously.
And long.
And it is mad how you don't feel like you can complain about anything.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, wait till you have the baby. Yeah. Then you'll feel like you can't moan about that either.
No.
And there will be lots to moan about.
Yeah, it is. It's a strange feeling because I've only diagnosed this morning as SPD, which I've never had before.
Mm.
Which I can't even remember what it stands for.
Symphysis pubis dysfunction.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I forgot you knew that sort of stuff. She basically said, yeah, your pelvis is fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
But it becomes right afterwards.
Yeah, so that's good news. But even then, like, it's so painful to walk. And I'm like, no, I'm fine. I just feel so blessed and lucky. Yeah. Which I do, obviously. But you almost don't need to say that because I think anyone who's going through this, like, anxiety-ridden time knows that already.
Yeah.
And actually, as it goes on, it does get easier.
I think that's the case for you because your loss was a first trimester loss. I think for people who have had a stillbirth in the past or a late loss, I think the anxiety gets worse as it goes on.
Yeah.
As soon as they're approaching the date of their loss. Because for you, I guess the anxiety must have been highest around that first scan, was it? Or the sedation scan?
Without a doubt, because I found out that we'd lost the baby at our 12-week scan. So the anxiety around scanxiety, and that's totally it. And the first time I had, a scan at 8 weeks, my first one, and I had like a panic attack in the waiting room. And I think that makes it worse because of the masks and all that. But at the end of the day, it's like revisiting hell when you've managed to get out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
How was it for you? Because you've had how many losses before you had Bertie?
Seven. Yeah.
It was. And then how did you find, how did you deal with it?
By just preparing myself for it to end.
Did you?
Yeah.
And did that make you have an issue connecting with Bertie while you were pregnant with him?
Yeah, I didn't connect at all.
Until he was born or until?
Yeah. No, until he was born. From the second that he was born, it was all fine.
Yeah.
I totally thought it was going to be horrendous because I hadn't allowed myself to believe that he would ever, you know, really exist. But luckily it was fine.
What was your... like longest pregnancy before Bertie? What was your latest loss?
11 weeks.
Oh wow. So even after you passed that initial 12 weeks, because you didn't had an anterior placenta, didn't you? So you didn't feel him kick either.
Yeah, and once you've when you've gone through so many losses, you can't help but your body is really has failed you time and time again. Why would you ever have any belief that it's going to do it right? Yeah.
So you never trusted your body until he was born?
I still don't trust my body. I tell you, the day I went in, when I was walking in that room to go and have a cesarean, I was petrified because I thought I was going to be meeting my dead baby. I honestly did not think he was going to be alive. Yeah, truly. And I had an anterior placenta, so I felt barely anything for the whole pregnancy.
Did you, not even on the outside, like late stage pregnancy on the outside?
No.
Really?
I would feel flutters every so often. If I ever went sort of a few days without any flutters, I would go and get checked out. I was a regular up at that maternity assessment unit. The first time I went, I broke down. And then after that, I just phoned and told my name and they were like, come up, dear.
And you were working at the hospital at the time, weren't you?
No.
Oh, you weren't? So you had to drive in?
It was the hospital that I had worked at, but my boss was pretty chilled about it all. Yeah.
Good.
You're not going to argue with a hormonal, you know, pregnant fatty crying in the corridor, are you? You're going to say, yes, dear, go and get checked out.
Yeah, yeah. And during the pregnancy, because we've had so many comments about pregnancy after loss and how frightening it is, how did you sort of deal with it and get on with it? And
I've always said control the controllables.
Yeah.
So by that, I mean, I had no bearing over whether this baby was going to be born alive or not. I had no influence over that at all.
Mm.
None. I realised that I had no control over my body. So I just thought, well, I'll just put it to the back of my mind. I will act pregnant and do all the things that I should be doing, but I'm not going to focus on the pregnancy. I'm just going to focus on the being healthy and sleeping well and hydration. And I would take the dog out for a walk, watch films, anything to keep my mind off it.
Mm.
And going to bed early was the best thing for me.
Because it meant that
the next another day I would wake up and it would be... Yeah. 8 weeks and 1 day, and then eight weeks and 2 days.
It's mad, isn't it? Because this, obviously, you've only got pregnancy after loss.
Yeah.
You haven't got a comparison of like a, whereas I had three pregnancies with absolutely nothing. And then I've had a pregnancy after loss, and I cannot tell you how different it is.
Yeah.
And how guilty that makes me feel, because I wrote a post on it a while ago about how I haven't I didn't take any photos of myself. And in all the other pregnancies, I did like a weekly, like, so I could look through. And I had the what to expect when you're expecting. And this week, your baby's the size of a raspberry and all that stuff. I didn't do any of that this time because I just thought, why tempt fate? I was just convinced that if I started to do that, it would be taken away.
Yeah.
No, that, and that's mad.
Really normal to feel like that. And it goes as far as like buying things for the baby.
Yeah.
And baby showers.
Yeah.
Just anything that is you're really letting yourself believe that this is going to happen just feels so scary.
Yeah. And also I've held this real big guilt for the baby that died.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want him or her to think that I'd forgotten about them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was almost denying this pregnancy in favour of the one that didn't work.
Do you feel like it was only after that due date went that you were able to sort of connect with this pregnancy?
Not really, because my due date, I was only about three, I was only just 12 weeks when my due date for the last baby was 11th of December. And I think I had my, well, I had my 12-week scan on the 27th of November. So it was literally 3 weeks between the two. I was just so desperate for the baby that we lost to know that I'm its mum. And I know that sounds really weird, but I didn't want, I was so desperate for them to know that I love them so much and I'm not replacing them. That's not what this baby is about.
Yeah.
And also when we were in hospital, so it's a year ago tomorrow, that I had the DMC for the baby after finding out on the 21st. And while we were in the hospital, I remember saying to, I remember being terrified that Rob was going to say, no, I don't, we've got a baby, we've got three kids, you know, we've got four between us because he's got a child from a previous relationship as well. And I was terrified that he was going to say, let's leave it there.
Yeah.
So I was like, we can have another one. Please, can we have another? Please, can we try again? Please, can we try again? And then a couple of weeks later, I even felt really guilty about that because I just felt like my poor little baby that had died that we've got in a pot outside the front of our house under a rose would think, oh, well, she didn't want me.
Feel bad because like you just said, I didn't want this baby to replace the last one. I mean, I held my hands up. I did. Like I just wanted a baby. I was literally just saying next, let's keep trying, go again, go
and
again.
Do you feel guilty about that at all?
No.
You don't? No, well, not. You feel how you feel, don't you? It's just mad, the different range of emotions because I think we did the post. So yesterday's post was about how we don't feel entitled to grief ever. Mm-hmm. So people who have one miscarriage or an early miscarriage, they don't feel entitled to their grief because it's just one or it's just early. And then people who have recurrent miscarriage don't feel entitled to their grief like the fourth or fifth time because it's just another miscarriage, right? And then people who have...
And if you grieved over seven babies and seven due dates and seven dates when you lost the baby and seven dates when you had the scan, you'd be always like a mess. I think it's like...
A self-preservation thing.
It has to be, because otherwise you're going to be constantly being reminded and feeling drained from this grief that, I mean, let's face it, not a month goes by where there's not a due date or something for me. So I can't let it.
But then I'm sure that some people do, because I've seen stories on our Facebook page and I've read and we've spoken to people who have recurrent miscarriages, and you know they have a really hard time, and they do know all the dates.
I think they have more significance on some dates as well. So you might find with people who go through recurrent loss that there were two or three that were later, or where they saw a heartbeat, or where they made it to 12 weeks, and they might lay more significance on those. Going back to what you were saying about had pregnancies before loss. I feel so envious of that. I feel so envious that I never had
a carefree.
I feel like it's been really stolen from me.
I don't blame you for thinking that, because I'd love to be able to give you that. I really would.
Something I always sort of dreamt about. But I also feel incredibly guilty for not connecting with and not enjoying my pregnancy at all. And I was thinking earlier, because obviously we knew we were going to be talking about this today, I've got six 6 pictures of my bump.
Have you?
5 of them are stood against a wall in our house, like just so we could see the difference in comparison of my bump. The first one was at 14 weeks because I was so petrified to take a picture before that.
Mm.
And that was after we got our the screening test back. And then there were 4 others stood against that same wall. And there's one of me, like an actual picture of me pregnant. I wouldn't let anyone take pictures of me pregnant.
Do you think you would, if you have another baby, will you do that differently?
I don't know. It's hard to say, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But I'm also coming round to the idea of not having another one.
Are you?
Yeah. I just don't want any more drama or pain.
Yeah. Just
quite all right at the moment.
Yeah.
Just enjoy him. I don't know. I haven't decided yet, but I'm coming round to the idea more.
Are you?
Yeah, because pregnancy is horrific.
Yeah. I think like pregnancy has been horrific for me in terms of I'm quite an anxious person by nature. And then having little things happen, like the midwife going, oh, it's a bit bigger than, you know, just that stupid comment just sends you into an absolute flap. And I feel like I haven't really been very present for my other kids during pregnancy.
Yeah.
And it just, it steals a part of your life, doesn't it? Because you're never quite there. And actually having this, having the Worst Girl Gang has been an absolute blessing because it has given me something.
In some ways.
Yeah, in some ways,
hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been tough. I think the toughest thing for me was the fact that baby loss awareness week started pretty much the day I found out I was pregnant.
Yeah,
and then we were talking every single day about loss, and obviously it does. What we've done has shined a massive light. I've been so educated in terms of the fact that there's so much that can go wrong during a pregnancy that you don't know about. And in terms of that, like even now I think back to some of the amazingly brave women that we've had on the podcast who've talked about later losses, like Claire Alibucks and Katie without Otterley and all that stuff, and that is terrifying.
Yeah, because it's still terrifying, isn't it?
We've got a pregnancy after loss group on Facebook and everyone says the same, everyone's dealing with the same stuff. And what's so sad is that there's when I see women and they're saying, oh, I've got to leave, it's time for me to leave this group, and it's not because they've had a baby. It just brings it home really how fragile things are and how you want to enjoy it.
It's an absolute miracle.
It's a miracle.
I don't think you realize until you go through all of this how fucking hard it is to make a baby. Right?
It's how do unplanned magic. Pregnancies ever happen?
Right.
Like, how were they ever a thing?
Don't know. What do you think has got you through this pregnancy so far? How have you dealt with your anxiety?
Scans. Yeah. So I had a scan at 8 weeks and I had one at 10 weeks. And then I had my 12-week scan and then I had 20 weeks. And then after being told by the midwife two appointments in a row that was too big, I booked another scan. And they were like, yeah, you're fine. And then what she actually said was, she was like, but you're really short, so obviously you're going to look bigger.
Yeah.
And actually my last midwife appointment, I was measuring bang on where I should be. So I stopped eating McDonald's. That was my the first midwife said, stay clear of the McDonald's. Oh, cool. Thanks.
Fatty.
Yeah, I have put a lot of like COVID weight on there.
Oh, who hasn't?
Yeah,
I mean, if we're talking about like scan obsessions, no number of scans is too many. If you feel like you need to have a scan, go for it.
They're not actually as I thought they were going to be, like £200 private ones, but mine were 89.
Yeah, and I got mine for about £50 on Groupon.
Oh, yeah.
And if I went back, kept going back to the same place, and he said that he would give me discount if I, on the next one.
I mean, you still probably had to remortgage your house, didn't you?
That's a lot. Most of them were NHS. because of my history, but yeah, and because I know the staff in the EPU. I was quite lucky.
Yeah, that helps. Get to know the staff in the EPU. That's
yes. That's the buy advice. Them Jaffa cakes.
Jaffa cakes.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing. The birthing centre shut, so it was choice between hospital or home birth.
And you're going home birth?
No, I've changed my mind.
Changed your mind?
Yeah. Because they've got birthing pools at the hospital.
Well, you know, you are geriatric, so...
Exactly.
Really, it's more sensible to be in hospital.
But also, if I had a home birth and something went wrong, they would take the baby and me and Rob would have to go, in the car behind the ambulance. And if something went wrong with me, I would go in the ambulance and Rob would be left with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a bit much for me.
I'm glad you've changed your mind.
Are you?
Yeah.
Thanks, pal. I'll have to sell the birthing pool.
Use it as a paddling pool in the summer.
Yeah, could do. Yeah, I feel happier. And having made the decision, I feel much happier. I think that's the other thing that is worth touching on is the whole pandemic situ.
Right.
Pregnancy during the pandemic. And obviously I've done it twice because I found out during the bad, no one's allowed in with you stage of the pandemic. And so I know there'll be loads of people listening that had that news by themselves and then had to kind of, if they're pregnant again, face that again.
At what stage of you, has Rob been allowed to go to your appointments with you?
He was all the way through the second pregnancy.
Okay.
But the scans, not none of the other appointments, obviously.
Okay.
But the first one, my early scan this time, he wouldn't have been allowed to go in if it was in a hospital, but it was private. So he could come with me. And then they changed the rules just before our 12-week scan. But I remember getting the letter for my 12-week scan. And because that's another thing that I didn't do. I didn't book in. I didn't have my booking in. I refused to have a booking in appointment. And also, it was you that told me to go and have a private scan.
Hmm.
And I was in tears going, I don't want one in case something's wrong. And it's this really weird thing. You just want to have been to it and know about it without having to actually be there.
Yeah.
But I would say definitely advice-wise for the scan is definitely tell them what's happened previously. If you've had a miscarriage... Oh, Laura's gone, but I can carry on talking forever. That's fine. If you've had a miscarriage and you found out at your scan, I completely understand where you're coming from in terms of anxiety and the anxiety that lies around that scenario, the setup, the scan room, the lighting, the screen, the sonographer, the gel, everything. I totally get where you're coming from if that's something you're nervous about. And I would definitely either phone ahead or if you do a private scan... I'm still talking. Don't worry.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm still.
Cool. I can't wait to listen back to that bit.
I was just saying that if you've had a miscarriage and you found out at your scan, I totally understand that whole, not even just the scan, but the setup, the lighting, the gel, the sound, the, you know, everything about it is so intense and scary. That I would definitely recommend if you're going for a private scan. I wrote an email to them and said, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
And they were absolutely lovely. And she said, I remember her putting the thing on my tummy and just saying, there's the heartbeat within the first, 30 seconds. And she dealt with it so amazingly.
I think having a scan, you're right. You could find out bad news. But if you're going to find out bad news, you'll find it out whenever it happens, whether it be next week or in a few weeks. I'd much rather just know.
Yeah.
Because if it is good, it's going to ease your anxiety. If it's bad, then like I say, it'll be bad whenever you find out. But the chance...
Yeah, it's definitely a bite the bullet situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I did feel, but one thing I also noticed is that I would feel amazing for like a day. I'm like, yeah, everything's, and then my brain would start going, yeah, but when you lost the last baby, you were 9 weeks and 5 days. And at the moment, you're 8 weeks and you could have had a scan and it could have all been fine last time. And the thing is, what I'll never know is because I don't get periods as a rule, I had an early scan with James, Flynn and Ruby at like 6 weeks, everything fine.
Yeah.
But because of the pandemic with the baby that we lost, they wouldn't give me an early scan.
Oh.
Because my period wasn't, I had a period, like I had a natural period, like round, I can't remember when it was, January or something. Yeah, it was January because it was around our wedding. I'd had this natural period. And even if, like, it would only be a couple of weeks out at the most, and because of COVID, they wouldn't give me an early scan. And I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, never mind. And I can always come back and have another scan if it's too early. And so I don't know if an early scan would have shown anything untoward, which is kind of a good thing, I guess. Like, because is it, I mean, is it worse to have an early scan and then see a heartbeat and then go back for another one and the heartbeat's gone? Or is it better to go and have an early scan and then going, yeah, this isn't going to, it's not a viable pregnancy?
It's not going to change the outcome of the pregnancy, but it, if it's going to ease your anxieties, even just for a day or two, then I feel like it's worth it. I was exactly the same with having a scan and then the next day being all negative Nelly straight away. But when I had one of my missed miscarriages, I'd had a scan 8 weeks and there was a heartbeat and then it had stopped at 8 weeks one day. So whenever I have a scan, I always have that thought in the back of my mind.
Tomorrow could just, it could be over.
Yeah. People would say to me things like, oh, I heard your scan went well. Well, yeah, but it could all go wrong. And they'd say, oh, how many weeks till your due date or whatever? And I'd be like, well, hopefully, however many weeks.
Yeah. And you never worked out, no, you always worked out your due date, didn't you?
Always.
Yeah, because I didn't this pregnancy. And I wouldn't let any, for any, I wouldn't, you know, when I started telling people and they were like, oh, so you must be due. And I'd be like, yeah, it's next summer.
Yeah.
Because
that's what I was going to say earlier when you mentioned about your booking an appointment that you didn't want to register for it. Whenever I get a positive test, I would go online and register my pregnancy.
Did you?
Yeah. Because
why?
The first time was because I was excited. And someone said to me, oh, do you know that you have to do this where you register online? And so I did it. And the second time, I think I was still naive and was excited and did it. And then after that, it was just so there was a paper trail to prove that I'd had a pregnancy, because so that I could get the testing and support that I needed.
Yeah, that's
crazy, isn't it?
And it is mad how different we are. Yeah, because I can't remember why I was talking about that now, but I refused to book in, and then that was it. I refused to book in, have a booking in appointment. So I don't think I had my booking in appointment till I was like 10 weeks. And then I was terrified of having a scan, and you said, book a scan. And so I booked a scan at 8 weeks. And then after that private scan, I had my booking in appointment.
Right.
Because it's just, I just didn't want to do it. I didn't want it all to be horrendous.
Yeah.
And you hear about people, I heard about people, luckily my midwife is the same as Ruby. When I had Ruby, and we got really close, and I like swapped phone numbers and stuff. So I texted her after we'd found out, and I said, this is what's happened. She said, oh, I'll deal with all the paperwork for you, don't worry. But I mean, how many times do we hear about women that have had a letter reminding from the
Yeah, one of my DMCs, I came home, and then a couple of days later I got my booking in appointment sent through in the post. And I remember with Bertie's pregnancy, I got this letter, I'd never been to a booking in appointment before in all 7 pregnancies, even though one of them was 11 weeks. It was just because of delays and all sorts of things. I was meant to have my booking in appointment with my molar pregnancy that afternoon. I was going there straight after the scan, but then obviously that all went wrong. But yeah, I'd never had a booking in appointment. never had a scan picture. So all of those moments with Bertie's pregnancy were like quite significant. And I'll never forget the day I picked up my maternity notes. I went to an appointment in the antenatal department. I don't know why. I don't know if it was a routine thing or whether it was just because of my history. But they gave me these notes and I just sobbed. I was like, oh, my God, this is real. This is actually happening. And that made me sad because I knew it would hurt more if it all went wrong.
Yeah. It's mental. And I think there's so much, what I've discovered so much is that I'm triggered by things that I just did not think I would be triggered by. Yeah. And there's so much I think that I've not dealt with about what happened and what went wrong. Because, for example, when I got my letter through for my 12-week scan, there was a note in there saying that partners were now allowed in. And I read it and I couldn't stop crying. I was like sobbing because, and I think that there was so much around Rob not being able to be there because of the pandemic that I'd really like shut away. Yeah. And then when I read that he could be there, it was just like this weight off my shoulders and this just, uncontrollable sobbing. And the same in all the scans, all of them.
Mm.
Even my one that I had at, 33 weeks, I cried throughout.
Yeah.
It's just, it fucks you up so bad.
It does. It really does. I'll never forget with Bertie's pregnancy, I had my dating scan at 12 weeks and 4 days or something like that. And this was 12 weeks. It was Friday. And I woke up that morning and I was bleeding a lot. And I went into this appointment. Normally I'm quite sort of, I'm quite resilient. I won't normally sort of cry.
Like stone hearted, would you say?
Yeah, but you could say that, Bex. You could say that. But I was in this waiting room, like, uncontrollably sobbing, and that's not like me.
No, that's not like you,
not at all. And when she told me that it was still alive, I just could not believe it. The amount of blood that had come out, I just was like, what?
And what was that blood then? A subchloralic hemolymph?
Don't know, it wasn't there. And then it was, and then
you bled throughout your pregnancy, didn't you?
No, that was the last bleed.
Oh, that was the last one?
Yeah,
okay.
12 weeks. But I bled from like 7 weeks.
Which must have just like, how do you flipping deal with that?
Do you know, people always say, oh, it's normal to have spotting in pregnancy. And up until that point, whenever I'd had spotting, it was the start of a miscarriage. So I was like, what a load of fucking rubbish. Who are these people who have spotting in pregnancy? You know, I can now say that I'm one of those people. Like, that was a successful pregnancy. And not only did I have spotting, I also had a massive bleed.
Mm.
And who knows, it was all fine.
I had bleeding with Ruby. I had one bleed at 9 weeks and one bleed at 11 weeks. I went to hospital for both. They were both bad enough to go to hospital. And I can remember thinking, oh my gosh, this is awful. This could be the end. It could be the end. This is horrendous. And then having a scan. So the first one, they were like, your cervix is closed. It's just one of those things. And then the second one was a lot heavier. And I had a scan and they were like, yeah, it's all fine. Don't know what it was. Didn't have another bleed.
Yeah.
And then that you just think, and then because the next baby was a miscarriage, I didn't have any pain or any bleeding. And you just end up thinking like, what, how can you
exactly
possibly know?
And you know, this is exactly why you control the controllables, because if you try and second guess yourself and you try and make sense of symptoms and things like that, you're going to drive yourself absolutely fucking crazy.
Because you can bleed and it can all be fine.
Yeah.
And you can not bleed and not have pain and
exactly.
It's not fine.
So go to bed early, stay hydrated, take the dog for a walk and have extra scans. That's my advice, guys.
Yeah, and I would back that up. Defo.
And diet. I think you can't save a pregnancy that's going to miscarry from diet, but you can keep your energy levels up and prevent the nausea a little bit if you eat the right things. So, if you're listening to this and you're up the duff, congrats.
Yeah, huge congratulations.
Hope all girls are here for you. Yeah, defo.
Yeah, and join the Pregnancy After Loss group on Facebook because they're a lovely bunch of girls.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, that's all, folks.
Who is that? Woody Woodpecker?
I don't know. Just came into my head.
Or is it the pig? Here's a little pig. What does he do? Yeah, I can't remember. Anyway,
I'm going for root canal treatment now.
Enjoy your
other half of my double decker.
Yeah, because Laura texted me. Laura voice noted me this morning. Excitingly, I've worked out how to speed up her voice on voice notes so they go much quicker. And also, she said that I was the opposite of the shit. She had a shit sandwich today because she was working all morning, and then she had a chat with me, and then she had root canal.
Yeah.
So she said I was the filling in her shit sandwich.
Yeah.
Which I still can't work out if it's nice or not.
No, I think it is nice. A shit sandwich is when it's
two bits of bread.
Two good things. So you say, yeah. Bex, you're looking really lovely today, but your hair's a bit wiry at the ends. Boobs look great though.
Yeah, which is exactly right? What you have said to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Apart from the first bit, you didn't say you're looking lovely. You just said...
Oh, well, you are, mate.
Oh, thanks, Carl.
So that's a shit sandwich. But yeah, I told you that you were the filling in my shit sandwich.
And then which is shit. Made me,
So reverse shit sandwich. That was on the second voice note.
Cool. Anyway, that's just a little taste into how we speak to each other.
Yeah. Got to go for said root now.
Oh, I hope it goes well. I hope you don't dribble too much.
Thanks. I will. But hey.
I look forward to a voice note this afternoon.
I sound like I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good luck.
Great chat.
See you later.
Ta-ra.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the podcast.
Don't forget to subscribe, rate and review, and we'll see you next week.
And to find out more about our pathway to recovery, please visit our website.